In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Brothers and sisters, another beautiful gospel reading today. This one that speaks to us about the mercy of God. The mercy of God that knows no bounds. The love of God that embraces everyone. This is one of our great recurring themes in our Christian faith. To know the mercy and the love of God. I want to share with you a brief story, and it's somewhat humorous, but also instructive. Story of a minister who's traveling to a large city to visit someone, presumably in the hospital, and he's looking for parking. He's driving around the block a number of times, and he can't find parking. So he puts his vehicle in a parking spot that is restricted. He's not allowed to park there. And he realizes this, so he writes a little note on the windshield. And it says that he's here to visit someone, and he's been traveling this block, going around it 10 times. He can't find a spot, but he's going to miss his appointment. And he writes, "Forgive us our trespasses." Now, he thinks he's pretty smart in doing so, and he goes up, makes his appointment. He comes back, he finds that he's got a citation there, that he's got a ticket. And on the ticket, the police officer wrote, "I have been a police officer circling this block for 10 years, and if I let you off, I'll be fired. Lead us not into temptation." And of course, it's a pretty good response. Pretty good response. But it illustrates for us sometimes that the scriptures can seemingly contradict one another. I want to speak today about resolving contradiction. And what is contradiction? I'll give you two definitions. The first is the act of saying something that is opposite or very different in meaning to something else. A second definition, a difference or disagreement between two things, which means that both cannot be true. So a contradiction are two things, two statements, two ideas that when put together don't make sense. They're illogical. They fight against one another. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, we see things that seem contradictory. In today's gospel reading, we heard about this infinite mercy of God, this unconditional love of God. But then elsewhere in the scriptures, we read things like what the Lord himself said. He said, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the powerful acts of God which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to the heavens, you shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." And there are countless parables where the Lord speaks to us about those who are cast out of the kingdom, and there'll be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. He speaks to us about the torment of the age to come for those who will abide in hell. How could this be? Didn't God just say that he loves everyone? That he's fully merciful? That he loves those who don't love him? That he does good to those who don't do good to him? Right? A seeming contradiction for us. And if we take these questions and we broaden it a little bit, we might come up with additional questions that seem contradictory. Why, for instance, would God forgive everything on the cross, but then hold us accountable to commandments, which, if broken, result in our going to hell, the very place he set us free from through his suffering and death? Why? If God were really merciful and loved us unconditionally, then why, if we break his rules and violate his truth, does he punish us? Isn't that hypocritical? Wouldn't the loving God accept us just the way that we are? And likewise, Wouldn't a truthful God require us to change? You know, Christianity, outside of orthodoxy, struggles over this, argues over this, like the minister and the police officer. There's a segment of Christianity that argues for God's love, that God's love will triumph over everything. Love wins. And then there's a segment of Christianity that says, no, God's truth is absolute. It's God's truth that will triumph. There will be justice. And they argue back and forth. And they fight amongst themselves, citing this scripture or that scripture. And it seems to many that the Christian faith is contradictory. What are we to believe? Whose camp do we listen to? And yet, in this very teaching of Christ, he gives us the answer to this question. He resolves the contradiction. This is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, which covers the same teaching that we heard today in the Gospel reading. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may become sons of your Father in heaven. And here's the key illustration. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Back to illustrations. He gives us the sun and he gives us rain. And these are analogies for how he deals with his creation. You think about the sun and its properties. It gives light, gives warmth, gives energy. Sun is so necessary to life. Likewise, water is so necessary for our nourishment, for our sustenance, to quench our thirst, for so many things. God is the one who is super essentially necessary for us. But the sun and the rain have different effects when they fall upon different things. When the sun shines down on wax, what does it do? It melts, it softens it. How about when the sun shines down on clay? What happens then? It hardens it. The same sun both softens and it hardens. How about when God shines down on the human being? What can God's great gift of himself to us do? It can soften us, or it can harden us. Pharaoh was the great example. There were 10 plagues because God was letting Pharaoh have a chance. In his long suffering and in his patience, he was giving Pharaoh multiple opportunities to have his heart softened. And yet he chose to have it hardened. How about rain? Rain is a good thing, right? We got a lot of it this week. Rain is extremely necessary in a drought. When the earth is parched, and nothing's growing, the earth kind of cries out for that rain, right? Well, how about if it's your wedding day? Don't want rain so much, right? The question is, what is our spiritual condition? What are we made of in relationship to God? What is our receptivity to God? How much do we want him in our lives? You know, contradiction is something that we don't find in God. There is no contradiction in that which is good. Everything that is good fits perfectly and harmoniously together. All of the virtues correspond to one another. There is no contradiction between love and truth, or patience, or chastity, or generosity, or any of the other good things. They are good. The only contradiction to good is evil. The only contradiction to virtue is vice. To light is darkness. To life is death. This is where we find the contradiction. The question for us is there a contradiction within ourselves? Within our minds and hearts? The mind is meant to know truth. The heart is meant to be filled with love. Is our mind perfectly united with our heart in truth and love? Or are there conflicts? Sometimes do we desire what we know in the mind to be wrong? Maybe you could probably answer that and say yes. Are there times where we don't love what we know to be right? Yes. Are there times where we kind of change our reasoning, our thinking, to accommodate how we feel, to justify our feelings? Probably. And we compromise our minds and our hearts. And they're in conflict with one another, in contradiction with one another. Because they're in contradiction with love and truth, the one true God. We neither think as God thinks, nor we love as God loves. And this is why he gives us commandments. Commandments which lead back to life. And what do the commandments govern? How we interact with creation, with nature. All of the commandments are in accord with nature. And we violate that which is natural, preferring unnatural. All of the commandments lead to a healthy society. Good interaction with our family and friends, with our neighbors, and even with our enemies. All of the commandments are for our unity with God and with one another. Our lives are to be governed by the Lord's commandments with regard to finances. It's a hard thing. And yet if we look at the teaching that Christ gives about finances, they lead us to such generosity. How much is the world in need of that? Sexuality, another aspect that the commandments do govern, teaching us how to be pure and chaste, how to respect one another and not objectify one another, how to live within the God-given guidelines of biology and gender. The commandments tell us to turn away from our passions and our addictions, how to resolve arguments and fights and disagreements and resentments and grudges. The commandments touch upon every aspect of our life so that every aspect of our life can be healed. We think about the rays of the sun. They shine in every direction. They touch upon everything. We think about the rain that pours down. How many drops? It covers everything. So it is with God. The great dilemma for us as Christians, when we realize that God is not in contradiction, but we are in contradiction with him and with ourselves. How do we resolve it? Outside of orthodoxy, there's two forms of resolution. One, we let love triumph over truth. Two, we let truth triumph over love. And we create a different God than the God who has revealed himself to us. And somehow deep down, we know that that's not true. These are false ways, false paths. They lead nowhere. That God is both love and truth. So how do we resolve our inner contradiction? Do we cry out, "Give me mercy and not justice"? It's very tempting. To think of God as love and not truth. Give me mercy and not justice. But what happens to us when we start to make that cry, that petition? Immediately we know that it doesn't work, because our upright and healthy conscience cannot bear this. It cannot bear to continue in sin and take advantage of God's love. That inner conscience, that inner being is in torment. So we think, okay, I'm going to take the other road. Give me justice and not mercy. And what happens? But our conscience, aware of its own sin, says that the fear is too great. That can't be our road either. So what do we do? The Orthodox Christian will cry out, "Mercifully make me just through repentance. Mercifully make me just through repentance." That is how the mercy of God is received. By receiving his virtue, his love, his truth, his chastity, his generosity, every one of those gifts that he gives to us, those gifts of grace, and being filled with it, so that we actually become just. And what happens when we're filled with God? What happens to that conscience? It is now cleansed. It is clean. And what happens to that fear? It subsides. It goes away. because we've been reunited with God, and we have nothing to fear anymore. Brothers and sisters, contradiction is solved not by changing God, but by being changed ourselves. Let us resolve our contradictions through our repentance. This is the only way that leads to life. Life with our one true God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.